unmerited favor. Amen, saints? Wonderful. For those of you who are guests or maybe haven't been with us for a while, well, it's not higher ground, it's a higher ground. I'll be firing my secretary after church today, which is actually me, so I type this in. So. I've had a good run. So, but our series in Ephesians has been higher ground, and we are going to be in chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to read a pretty lengthy passage from chapter 5, cover a little bit of last Sunday's message, and get right into this morning's thought that we have. So I invite you to open your Bibles if you have them with you, or you can look on the screen behind me to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 14 out loud to you. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 14. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become a saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And everybody said, Thank you for the word of God, Father. We just thank you for what it means to us and for how it affects and impacts our lives and our eternity and our individual walk with you. And Father, we do pray this morning that you would be pleased to meet with us here in this assembly that we call Liberty Baptist Church, that you would speak to us, that you would move in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would give us that beautiful gift of illumination and just cause the Word of God to come to life and even jump off the page so it just becomes so real to us and so empowering in our individual walk with you. And Father, we do pray this morning if there be anybody amongst us today here in this assembly that does not yet know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, that you would also be working in that heart and showing that one their need to come to the Savior who is Jesus Christ, and find salvation completely in him. It's free and forever. And Father, I do pray that would be the case this morning if there is someone like that in our midst. And God, we do pray this today that when all is said and done here, and we say our last amen this morning, that you will have received all of the honor and all the glory and all the praise. Because, Father, in our heart of hearts, we believe that you are worthy of those things. And we ask this and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk this morning about walking in light, and we're going to get to that title here in just a moment. But I want to set the stage or maybe give an introduction to the idea of light by hearkening back to some of the first words recorded in the Bible. The very first recorded command of God was, let there be light. We go back to the very first chapter in our Bible, the book of Genesis in chapter number 1. We get an account of the creation of the universe here, and it talks about these things and gives us, spells out how God brought into existence through the power of his voice all that we see and enjoy here in the 21st century. And in the beginning, the Bible says, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what, saints? Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. We can say from what we read here in the first chapter of Genesis, those first four verses in the Word of God, that prior to there being light, the earth was shapeless, lifeless, and shrouded in darkness. It was shapeless, lifeless, and shrouded in darkness. And I don't think I'm stressing anything here this morning or taking liberty with God's Word or the meaning or the importance of light when I say this, that light is absolutely essential for healthy life. There has to be light before there can be healthy life. And we're going to look at this morning what an unhealthy life might look like later on in the message this morning, Lord willing. But light is a life-giving force, and light comes from God. And we're reminded in God's Word that light is one of the main truths that helps us understand God's character. Light is something that defines the very character of God. We see this brought out in 1 John in chapter 1. When the Bible says this, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is what, saints? That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." It defines the very character of God, doesn't it? He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So I took that thought, that verse, that precept, and I kind of turned it around to apply to man or woman in their natural state. This is what I wrote down in my notes for you to roll around your minds here for a minute. Man, in his lost condition, man is not light, and in him is great darkness. It's the same thing is true for the female, right? Woman is not light, and in her is great darkness. Because we're lost and we're undone without Christ or without hope in this world. And so God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. But man, again, in his lost or his natural condition, he is not light, and in him is great darkness. And we see throughout the Word of God that mankind's natural inclination is bent towards the darkness. John chapter 3, verse 19, the words of Jesus Christ, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And you can see it here. It's being brought out. There's a choice. There's a choice of light and a choice of darkness. And mankind in their natural state, men in their natural state, women in their lost condition will gravitate towards the darkness because their deeds are evil, right? Man. But the very moment you receive Christ as Savior, you become a partaker of God's divine nature. This is what it says in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And so, when you get saved, we talked about walking in love last Sunday morning. And we can't walk in natural love. We can't walk in sacrificial love. We have to walk in the love that God puts in our heart. And when you get saved, God put a little bit of His love in your heart. He did. It was part of that being a partaker of the divine nature package deal that comes with our salvation, only afforded in the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when you get saved, He puts a little bit of love in your heart, and now you can begin to figure out what it means to walk in love. And we talked about love being unconditional and love being eternal and love being sacrificial. And I think we came to the conclusion last Sunday morning that the thing that we can do as humans, saved by grace, is simply walk in love that is sacrificial, putting others before ourselves, which is going to be a pretty big ask considering how much we love ourselves. But anyway, The second thing was this. Now we're getting not just a little bit of love from God, but we're getting a little bit of light from God. When you get saved and you become a partaker of the divine nature, then you're also going to get a little bit of that divine light down in the depths of your soul. And we're going to talk about that in great detail this morning. You know, because you have a little bit of God's love and now a little bit of God's light, it's possible, as we talk about verse 2, to walk in love, but also possible, as it mentions here in our passage this morning, to walk in light. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, what it means. We're going to try to discuss it and try to apply it and glorify God while we have this service here at Liberty Baptist Church this morning. Now, I'm not fishing for amens right now, but I'll just tell you this so you know. We live in a dark world, in a depraved society. It's really dark and very depraved. And so when you're walking in light, I want you to get this in your mind right now. When you're walking in light, you're going to look different from societal norms. When you're walking in light, you're going to be walking counterculturally. You're not going to be walking lockstep with them, but you're going to look different. Walking in light is going to look different, and this is so important, and walking in light can make a great difference. It's going to look different, and it has the ability to make a great difference. I want you to see this morning, number one, that there's an irrefutable truth that we have to ascribe to. Here's what it says in verse number 8 of Ephesians 5. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ye were sometimes darkness, the Bible says. That word sometimes, it means like at one time or at some time. You were darkness. And so every one of us, in our natural condition, before we came to Christ for salvation, we were walking in darkness. And we can probably say this safely, that some were walking in a deeper darkness than others. I know, like my wife, she got saved when she was 8 years old. And she's been a pretty committed Christian, consistent, godly, mostly. She did not experience the depth of darkness that I experienced. She didn't go through those things. She didn't dabble in those things. She kept herself from those things. And so, to a degree, there's different maybe levels of darkness, but here's the reality. If you're lost this morning, you're walking in darkness. And if you know Christ this morning, yes, you are now in the light, but there was a time in your past when you also walked in darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness. At one time, you know, remembering back or hearkening back to Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins, that we walked according to the course of this world. Colossians chapter 1 has very similar language to it in verse number 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And I want you to understand that kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of light. It's a kingdom of divine light because Jesus is the light of the world. And so when you get translated or transported out of one into the other, you're leaving the kingdom of darkness behind, your past behind. And as the choir sang, by his grace, now you are in the kingdom of his dear son, and that is a kingdom of light by definition because God is light. And then one of my favorite, I guess, texts or verses about salvation that I just find to be so majestic is in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 9, where the Bible reminds us about our salvation and how beautiful it is, not just in the eyes of God, but how beautiful it ought to be also as the recipients of his wonderful grace. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness, get this, saints, and into his, what kind of light? Marvelous light. Light that is to be marveled over. Light that escapes the ability of our finite mind to completely understand and to fully appreciate. We've been called out of the darkness of our natural condition. We've been called out of the darkness of being lost in sin and have been brought into this beautiful kingdom, this reality that is the marvelous light of God. And so walking in darkness was a part of our past, and we should have a sense, I believe this, we should have a sense of compassion to those who are still in darkness. We should have a sense of compassion to those who are still being blinded by the prince of this world. I said in the opening, walking in light is going to look different, and walking in light has the power to make a difference. Jude 22, and of some have compassion. Making a what, saints? A difference. And so we got to be mindful of it and be responsible to those who are still walking in darkness. Have compassion on them and tell them there is a place where you can come and receive light. And that place is at the feet of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His salvation, His perfect gift, the one who said it is finished, can offer light to all. Amen? Number two is this, walking in light produces visible fruit. Walking in light produces visible fruit. I want you to look at your Bible again to Ephesians 5 and verses 9 through 10. We're going to walk in light. And it says this, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Walking in light produces visible fruit. I said it in introduction. Some of you shook your head or nodded your heads and said amen. Light is life-giving. When I was, I believe it was fifth grade, we did these science experiments in our classroom growing plants. And there was different light conditions for all the plants. Some were put in a sunlit window. Some were only given artificial or fluorescent light. And then the other plant was put into a dark closet and not allowed to see light. Now, this is what that plant ended up looking like when it came out. It was pale. It was leggy. It looked unhealthy. Because I'm telling you this, without light, you cannot have a healthy existence. We need the light of God to have a healthy Christian existence. We need the light of God to light the way of eternity for us. Understand that we can only get there again through the gift of grace that's afforded in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You put a plant in the closet, you get this pale, tall, leggy, unhealthy looking thing, unable to produce fruit. You put the same plant in direct sunlight, you give it the water, you give it the nurture that it needs, and it begins to produce fruit, or it begins to flower, whatever the plant's DNA is, all the different things. So I like to say this, fruit is the unfolding of how our life or how our walk reveals itself in our relationship to God. When there is fruit in our life, it's how we make manifest that this thing that we have in Jesus, this life that we have in God, is the real deal. It's not something that's just made up. It's not something that's a fabrication of our mind. We're not believing in a myth. We're believing in the risen Savior. And that He has this light. And once He comes into us, He gives us a little bit of love, a little bit of light. We're going to talk next Sunday morning, Lord willing, about a little bit of wisdom. It allows us to walk in those things. And as we do, there's fruit being produced in our lives. There's the marks or the earmarks of a sinner who's been saved by grace. And the ones that are talked about here in Ephesians 5, there's three of them. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now goodness, I like to look at goodness like this. It's how we relate to other people. You ever heard someone say this? He's a good man. How we relate to other people. In the Bible, the Word of God reminds us, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And so any goodness that you and I do has to come from the empowering of God. It has to come from the enabling or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because we're not able to do good, but we can do good because of what God is doing in us. Because now we have that divine nature that we have partook of since our salvation. And now we can walk with uprightness towards other men and other women. Whether or not they be of the household of faith or not, does not matter. We can have good motives, underhanded or a hidden agenda, things of that nature. And we're just being generally godly in our treatment of other people. That's a fruit that the Holy Spirit produces. That's a fruit that is produced from a Christian who is walking in the marvelous light of Jesus. How we relate to other people. The second one here mentioned is righteousness. And righteousness is how we relate or where we stand with God. How we relate or where we stand with God. Maybe you don't know this, but it's good for you to know it this morning. When you got saved, God declared you eternally not guilty. The moment you got saved, God, who I like to label in this context, the supreme judge of the universe, declared you not guilty, even though you were very, very guilty. For all have sinned, right? And come short of the glory of God. That lies upon all of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. All those things are true. So, but at salvation, God declared you eternally not guilty. Case dismissed. And the only reason that's possible, or the only reason it's a reality this morning is this, is that when you got saved, and you didn't see it, and you can't completely understand it, the righteousness of Jesus, excuse me, the only begotten Son of God, His righteousness was imputed on your ever-living soul. And so, this is how I like to think about it. When God looks down from heaven, He does not see Mark Hoffer in all of his sins. He instead sees this Mark Hoffer, who is now under or has been exposed to, translated into the beautiful righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's what he sees, is righteousness. And so, again, I didn't deserve it. Right. And I still do guilty things. Yes. Come on. Yeah. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Yeah. Come on. And because we're righteous, it should remind us of some things of how I relate to God. I belong to Jesus now. I am my beloved and He is mine. It should be a driving force in our thought life. Should be a driving force in our behavior. Should be a driving force in our worship. We come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We could not do that if it were not for the righteousness of Jesus being on our ever-living souls. Amen. The third one is truth. Truth, I like to look at it this way, of how I relate to myself. Am I a man of integrity? Do I keep my word? Am I honest? Am I reliable? You know, because I've learned this, and you know this is true, we can lie to ourselves. We can lie to ourselves to such a degree that we believe the lie. And we can live the lie and things of that nature. And so, but God says this, if you're a saved person and you're walking in light, it's going to produce fruit in your life. And you can't prevent the fruit. You can stunt it sometimes, no doubt. You can put yourself in a place where the growth might be stunted, but you're going to have goodness and righteousness and truth. And walking in light should be made manifest or be made evident in our lives, having this fruit of being a part of our walk with the Lord. And then the verse 10 says this, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. These attributes I mentioned, goodness, righteousness, and truth, help us to define or discern what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, I've already said, when you're walking in light, you're going to look different. Here's the thing. We're not living in a postmodern world. We're living in a post-Christian world. Yes. We really are. Yes. And some of the things, the phrases, the theologies that get bantied about in the 21st century, blow my mind. You know, and they say things that are just vile. They're ungodly. They're vulgar. They're debauched. They come from a depraved heart. And then they'll say all these things, and they'll say this at the very end. And I'm sure God's okay with it. Well, if you would go back to the Word of God and say, well, there's got to be goodness and righteousness and truth, that helps us to understand and discern what God is good with and what He isn't. Somebody help me? All right. All right, there's that sick plan again. Amen? Say goodbye. All right. Ephesians 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It kind of makes my point this morning. It says the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, darkness doesn't produce fruit. And if it does, it's not good fruit. It's the wrong kind of fruit. It's a dark, stained fruit. We'll call it that. So the way I label this verse in my notes this morning was, to read to you this morning is this. Don't get along where you don't belong. That'll just preach right there. We could just stop right there and just go ahead and get another hour in on this right here, couldn't we? Don't get along where you don't belong. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have no fellowship means not to be a partaker, not to be a part of, not to be in agreement with. We're going to see that here in just a moment. Darkness is where evil is best propagated. It's not best propagated in a lab. It's not propagated in light. Amen? Evil is propagated where darkness exists, where darkness is manifest, where darkness is adored, where darkness is embraced. And we're not supposed to be even rubbing elbows with the darkness. We're supposed to avoid even the very appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Appearance. I looked that word up. I had to make sure I knew what it meant. And it means this. If it takes the form of or fits the fashion of evil, then stay away from it. Amen. I'm going to say it again. If it takes the form of or fits the fashion of, then stay away from it. Why? Well, two reasons come to mind. Number one, it's a horrible testimony. It's a horrible testimony. And number two, it can get on you. I shouldn't come down here. I'm sick. Okay. I want to come down there and just talk a little bit to your heart. Just imagine I'm down there right now, okay? If you get a little bit of evil on you, and you are a blood-bought believer, supposedly walking in light, it's not a good look. Make sense? It's not a good look, and it can get on you, and it gets on you so subtly. The prince of darkness, the god of this world, is so subtle in his workings, in his devices, in his attacks upon us. We don't even see them coming at times. Amen? You know, we have this age-old axiom. We've been preaching it and saying it from pulpits now for centuries. That, yes, you are in the world, but don't be of the world. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? So we know it's true. We know it's possible. And so, you take a close look at your Christianity and you realize this. Yeah, in reality, preacher, you're right. I'm not even a part of this world. I'm a part of another world, a heavenly, an eternal, a one that is light forever and ever. Right? It says this again in verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what, saints? Reprove them. So it's okay to say something that has biblical backing and Holy Spirit leading about the behavior, about the direction, about the action that one might be propagating, about the darkness that might be being embraced in that believer's life, and to tell them they're going in the wrong direction, and that wrong direction is leading them to grave danger. Not that they'll lose their salvation, but their testimony is going to be a shipwreck. And they're going to have a hard time making a difference in an already very depraved, very dark, sin-sickened world. Amen. And the word reprove means to expose. And I got to say this, sticking our heads in the sand and being silent about wicked behavior is simply an unvoiced approval. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Then at least live in opposition to it. I don't think I've got the boldness to call someone out, or I don't think I have the Bible knowledge to go chapter, verse on what they're doing is wrong. Then at least live in opposition to it, because again, being silent is simply an unvoiced approval. And I said it a moment ago, I'm going to say it again. Satan is so subtle. He comes in with things that, because either we've been saved for so long, or because we know so much, we say that's kind of benign, not really going to affect me, not really going to impact me. There's a reason why the Bible says that we need to lay aside the easily besetting sin, because it easily besets us. Amen. And it catches us off guard time and time again. So we need to be on the lookout for the little things that might come in and spoil the vine. Like it says in Song Solomon, it's the little foxes. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. So I hope that you are aware of the little foxes, or the little leaven that has the power to leaven the whole lump. And you're being aware of those things, and you're reproving those things, maybe not by word, but at least by removing yourself from every appearance of evil. And somebody said, amen. Amen. Verse 12. Whatever you do, don't give it legs by glorifying it or gossiping about it. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Brother Roger, did you know Larry Brown from Iowa? Amen. Brother Brown, he was a preacher. He wasn't afraid to say it was on his mind. Amen. And he came to Heartland while I was there and preached chapel. And it was a pretty fiery, convicting chapel message. And he gave an illustration that seemed like it was very, very true, because knowing the character of Larry Brown, it does not surprise me at all. He said he preached on a Sunday morning. He got done. He went to his office. And this lady came into his office, and she began to gossip about other people in the church who were committing the sins that he just preached about. He said, oh my goodness, we got something going on here. We got a real problem. He said, follow me. So they went into the auditorium, and he took out a tape measure, and he measured the length of the steps in front of the platform. He said, oh no, we got a really big problem. She said, what is it? He said, this altar is not long enough to put your devil poison tongue on to get right with God. Come on. I didn't say it, Larry Brown did. Come on. Amen. Amen. Oh, wow. Glory to God for men like that. I can just quote. Yeah. Verses 13 and 14, we're done this morning. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You know, some things, you know, in our lives, God brings to light because he's trying to expose some things that we need to get right. So expose some areas where we've been trying to hide some things. And God brings those things to light. In other things, God just intends on his children to bring them to light, because again, we've become partakers of the divine nature, and he will give us light. The Bible says so. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that we are the light of the world, right? You have the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And somebody said, amen. Amen. Some things God brings to light, but other things God leaves up to us to bring to light, because He's given us the light to do such a thing and to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's the thing. When you are walking in the light, and your testimony and your abstaining from the very appearance of evil begins to shed light on someone else's darkness, someone else's need for salvation, generally speaking, they're not going to be excited and say, yay, thanks for telling me I'm a sinner. Or thanks for bringing up that what I'm doing is absolutely evil, and it brings a shame to the cause of Christ and to the very nostrils of God. Thank you for that. No, that's not how it's going to be. Generally, they're going to reject you. In their sin-darkened hearts, they're going to probably call you names. You're going to hear names that are commonly bantied about because you're walking with God. You'll be rejected. There are going to be some who say this, I'm done with you. I'm not going to invite you into my company ever again. But here's the thing. If by walking in the light, you glorified the one who saved your soul, you did the right thing. If by walking in the light, you glorified the one who saved, again this morning, I'll say it again, your ever living soul, you did the right thing. You weren't going up there trying to hurt someone. You weren't trying to trample on their feelings. You were trying to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so you're walking in light. And you know, you don't know what that light might do somewhere down the road. We've got to get some light in there somewhere so a seed can be planted. And so the seed can be watered. And so God can give the increase. And maybe a soul can be saved because you had compassion and you did your level best to make a difference. Amen. And to walk in light also means to let God and God's light expose in you what might be wrong, what needs to be addressed, and what needs to be taken care of before a very loving, very forgiving, eternally gracious, unconditionally merciful Savior who wants you to be more and more like Him. And everybody did say, amen. Father, we do thank you for this time today. Thank you for the Word of God, for what it means to us, how it speaks to us. Father, we're so thankful that we can boldly approach the throne of grace, that we can handle some things that we know need to be addressed before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that if we confess our sins, He is just faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We should be thankful for our salvation. We should be thankful that somewhere in our hearts, the moment we got saved, you gave us a little bit of your love, a little bit of your light. And Lord, next Sunday we'll talk about a little bit of your wisdom, allowing us to walk in those things, walking in love and walking in light and walking in wisdom. Father, help us to be good testimonies. Help us to walk in such a way that our life will be different and look different and cause those who are lost or undone to want to know exactly what's going on, the changes that you're working and the changes that you're affording in our lives and in our churches, in our homes, and in our marriages. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would be good testimony because we have decided and we are endeavoring to walk in the light. Father, you know our hearts this morning. You know exactly what we need. Father, I do pray that if we got what we needed, we'll be quick to thank you and to bless your holy name for it. We ask these things and pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, Oh, to Be Like Thee, for our song of response this morning. And let's all stand. And if God has spoken to you about the things that we cover from God's Word today, I'll pray you'll speak back to Him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come this morning and let's take the Bible and show you some more great truths about this Jesus Christ who wants to save your ever living soul. He loves you like you do not even comprehend or understand. And the changes that he will afford will be changes that will last for all eternity. And all God's folks said, amen. Amen. Brother Russ, come ahead.
Constant longing and prayer, gladly I'll forfeit all of life's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. To be like thee, Holy Spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive it. That I am and have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, thine own image deep on my heart.
Is that it?
That's okay.
Thank you, brother. Been good to be in God's house. We'll be back here tonight at 6 to continue our new series in the book of Joshua. Looking forward to that very much. I'm going to have Tom and Haley go to the back there and greet folks as they leave today, because I'm going to go out the side door and not share my blessed germs with you, okay? All right, so be here tonight at 6, and of course Wednesday at 7. We're having great services in the middle of the week too. I know that we can all use a middle of the week boost from the Word of God and for what He can do in our lives and in our hearts. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your attention to God's Word. I do believe that we're able to worship today in spirit and in truth. Brother Russ, come and close in prayer, sir.
Father, we thank you for bringing us together today. Help us, Lord, as we have a testimony. Help us to have a godly testimony that others may want to know what is different about us. Help us, Lord, as we go out this day, to not to be part of this world, but to glorify you in all that we do. We pray now your blessing upon us as we depart. And we give you the glory for all that has taken place today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.